Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, RV, motorcycle, boat, or in the suit's case, yacht. They'll take care of all your insurance needs. At Purdy Insurance, Marcus Reed and Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com and they'll do everything they can to save you money. First of all, our play-by-play call of the day.
Let's decide it. Right here in New Orleans, Jaden Daniels. To the end zone. Got it! Jerrade Jenkins! My, oh my, what a night in New Orleans! To send us to overtime. Football. You couldn't write that script.
Joe Tessitore with the call on ABC and ESPN. Yeah, LSU going to get the ball, muffed a punt. Florida State about to put it away, fumbles on the one. LSU drives down the field, two-hour delay while they figure out whether their guy's in bounds or not. And then at the end... They get a touchdown and then have the extra point blocked. Other than that, that really describes an opening game. With that, we bring in the fine head football coach at Bucknell, Dave Cecchini. Dave, welcome. Great to have you back on the show.
Thanks. It's always great to be here.
Yeah, tough one in the opener. You worked hard in the preseason. Did you see some fruits of that labor show up in the opener in a game that went to overtime?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, right from the very first possession of the game, it was obvious when we were going up against a very talented opponent, just filled with dozens and dozens of FBS transfers, guys that, you know, are 23, 24-year-old, you know, mature men. And we fought tooth and nail and didn't give them an inch. And particularly our defense did a phenomenal job all night long and limiting them to, you know, 7 points and really what amounted to be about 90 snaps of offense. So just a great difference between a year ago and this year, us able to hold together for a 60-minute football game and compete against a very good team.
You go into the fourth quarter, you're down 7-0. You then put together the 6-play, 74-yard drive, Dave. What did you see in the resolve and resiliency of your football team at that moment?
Well, it was something that was lacking a year ago. You know, our players were confident, our defense was playing well, our offense was putting together drives, but we had some really poor field position where we would, you know, take over with the ball on our own 2-yard line and we'd get it out to midfield and then punt. You know, so we were moving the football, but we didn't really have that break that gave us the short field, and then eventually we created that. Rashawn Baker had a huge run on a counter play and broke a tackle and almost scored, and it was great to see. I mean, there was no quit in the team. Everybody was confident. No one was frustrated. We knew that we could do that, and it was great to get that score to even things up in the fourth quarter.
What did Rashawn Baker show you on something like that? Because it's great to get to the second level, but he got to the third level on that run. What did that show you up front and then what he did?
Yeah, well, I mean, we know he's a powerful runner. I mean, he is compact. He's really strong. And he's a guy that you, you don't need to raise your eyebrows when he just falls forward because he's a physical player. But what you don't expect to see him is like what happened there. He got out on the edge and then he kicks it into an extra gear that most tailbacks that run with his running style don't have. And a couple of Towson safeties took poor angles because they assumed, hey, I'll be able to cut this guy off at midfield. And and he got around almost everybody, and almost he just landed on the 1 yard line. Unfortunately, just couldn't keep his feet, pick him up before the last guy dove and got him by the ankles.
Sometimes you look at a statistical line, you'll ask a couple of questions. But one thing I noticed in Ethan Grady's statistical line, no turnovers. Did he play with a level of maturity where it was okay to go to the next down?
Yeah, he managed the game well. We didn't, typical first game jitters. We didn't have any delay of games or any personnel discrepancies where we don't have enough guys in the huddle or where we have too many guys in the huddle, things that are just common in college football week one. Ethan, being a sophomore this year, was much more composed, and I thought that was probably the best thing he did was he made some great throws, some big plays, the things that we know he's capable of doing, but it was great to see him not lose us the football game, not try to throw a ball into double coverage, squeeze it through a window that's too tight just because, he's trying to do too much. He did a great job of throwing the football away when he had to. He avoided sacks. He did a great job all night. Now, he still made some young mistakes. He wasn't perfect. But it was great to get him started off on the right foot like he did.
Towson had the ball 38-35, yet you only gave up the one score in the third quarter. What does it tell you not only about the young men, but about the strength and conditioning and off-season program that they went through on a warm day like that and held up, especially in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, it's huge. It's something that was the major focus of our team. We have to become more resilient. We have to get to the fourth quarter. We have to be healthy. We have to be in shape. And it was a hot night. I mean, it was sticky. It was muggy. There were guys on both teams that were going down with some cramps. But for the most part, particularly our defense, they were out there for a ton of snaps. We rotated through a lot of guys, and we were able to do that because we are a deeper football team than we were a year ago. And it didn't matter who we were putting in the game. They were coming up with some big plays.
We're able to get some plays on the defensive side, like Brent Jackson, Blake Leake. They both have a dozen tackles in the game. Ethan Robinson picked off a pass. Did you see a cohesion on defense that made a difference?
I did. It was our first game, with Chris Bowers as our defensive coordinator. He came on board this past winter, and so we've had plenty of time to implement his schemes, and it was not a radical departure from what we did last year, but it was great to see our players, play with conviction, play with speed, but as I mentioned earlier, just play with a level of physicality that we just couldn't do. We could do it at spurts last year. We could do it for a quarter or maybe a half. But we struggled against a quality opponent, like Towson, to put it together for 60 minutes. And that's really what we did. It gave us a chance to win the game.
Obviously, you get to overtime. In overtime, they score a touchdown. You had to respond. Now, I know how it ended. I got that. But what about the response, though, to go the 25 yards in 7 plays when you had to?
Yeah, it was great. Our players, we were facing a critical down in the game. It was third and goal, and you're down 7, so you need to make a play. You got 2 plays to get yourself into the end zone, and that was probably Ethan's best throw of the day. He rolled right, and we kind of hid the tight end and leaked him into the back of the end zone, and Towson did a solid job. They recognized it and were trying to get over there, and so he wasn't wide open, and Ethan had to throw a ball over a defender. Made a great pass, perfect touch, and we got it down in the end zone, and that was outstanding. Our guys, again, in a pressure-packed moment, knowing, hey, this is, now's the time to produce. It was great to see us do it. It was just, like I said, it was a shame it had to come down to a missed extra point to decide an otherwise great football game.
And no question. Obviously, you want to be able to coach from a position of winning. I got that part. But how valuable was that tape for you to make improvements based on the opponent you had and how you played?
Yeah, I told our team at the end of the game, hey, we're not going to hang our head on this one. There's no such thing as a moral victory, but anyone who was a part of our football team a year ago knows that, teams like Towson a year ago, by the time we got to the second half, they were running away with the football game. We just couldn't compete, that we were too small, We weren't big enough, strong enough, and deep enough to hang with a team of that caliber and to be able to come off that field saying, oh, my gosh, I mean, we were there. We could have, would have, we should have, you know, if we just made one more play. And that was really my message. Hey, hold our head up high. All we have to do if, you know, if we're going to go out and get a win, you know, this week, coming week against BMI, we're going to have to make one more play. And that's one more play on offense, one more play on defense, one more play on special teams. You know, there are times when we watch that film, every single time you go, you look at it, it's like, boy, if we just would have done this, just one more play, we would have, you know, won the football game. And that's what, you know, a great college football game is all about. You can see it in any game on any Saturday. A really good football game comes down to, you know, sometimes 10, sometimes 20, sometimes one or two plays that just, they go one way or the other and they determine the outcome. You never know when they're coming usually. And if we just would have got one more, we would have wound up with the W.
Now, obviously, you had to show a lot in your game because it goes to overtime. VMI played Wake Forest, and in order to compete with somebody like that, you've got to show a lot, too. I mean, you've got to show a lot on there. How valuable was that video for you to watch? Because they probably did have to show a lot to try and compete.
Yeah, and it was valuable because they have a new defensive coordinator as well. So just to be able to see what the new defensive coordinator was going to change in terms of scheme, and as luck would have it, you know, Wake Forest, schematically, not speed-wise, not tempo-wise, but schematically, they're fairly similar to what we do. So we were able to get some good looks of, hey, here's how they're going to defend these particular formations. So it was valuable. Where it's not so valuable is they played on a Thursday night, so they've got a couple extra days of rest and preparation for us. So they're a little ahead of the game. We're playing a little bit of catch-up here just in terms of the game planning, but hopefully we can pull up and be executing at the level that we're going to need to execute to get a W this Saturday.
Final question. I know, obviously, the honest answer is we need to be better everywhere. I got that. But from a level of confidence, what do you feel like you established in game one that are building blocks for two and beyond?
Yeah, I feel great with where we're at. You know, for not winning a football game, I think about as good as you can be. Obviously, we would rather have won the football game, but I think coming out of it, I think that the confidence of our football team is high. I think they know that all the hard work that they've put in during these last, you know, 8 or 9 months here in the off season, you know, really are paying off. And we're fairly healthy coming out of a very physical football game. And hopefully that'll bode well, not just for the VMI game, but for the weeks to come here when we get into our conference play. So I'm extremely excited and hopeful that we can just be one play better and get a win versus VMI.
Outstanding effort, just one play short, but best of luck this week at VMI down in Lexington.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Dave Cicchini joining us on the show. Appreciate that. Bucknell came so close. Matt, obviously, I know you were there.
Yeah, they did. It was crushing, but there's definitely, once you get away from the gut-wrenching loss and the aftermath of it, the coach is absolutely right. There's a lot of positives for Bucknell to build on, and I think they can win this game at VMI Saturday. I really do, and I think this could be a very exciting year in the Patriot League when they start up in a couple of weeks.
It's kind of hard to tell, like, for example, with a VMI. In other words, you have a much better read on Bucknell because they go head-to-head with Towson. That's a good program. You got to feel like, hey, here they come. Wake Forest is so much better than VMI. Can you tell? I mean, that's the issue. You can't really tell how good they are.
True. And the other slight caution, because I really truly think Bucknell took a step and played well against a good opponent. But I also don't think Towson played very well. They were very sloppy. They shot themselves in the foot very often with a lot of bad penalties. They had a lot of missed plays that could have, I think, really changed the game and may have gone in the other direction. But give Bucknell credit and the defense credit. They were really very good, too, on Sunday. But Towson definitely didn't have their best game out there. I will say that.
Okay. Now, Penn State note for everybody, just in case you're wondering. If you're asking about, and I did address this on Friday, but I'll readdress it now, Abdul Carter. Abdul Carter was on one special teams play and then one defensive play. Then the targeting call was made. He's out. Because it happened in the first half, he is available the entire game on Saturday. All right, so he does not have to sit out at all. So I hope that if you have had a question about that, I wanted to make sure you understood.
You know, one note about that, Steve, real quick. I think if you saw in the late in the half of the game last night, Clemson Georgia Tech, when they changed the targeting call, they reversed the targeting call. That's a prime example of what you brought up again on Friday with what college football should do with the targeting calls. Go back and look at him the next day. There it is right there, because that was a similar play to Abdul Carter, and that time they reversed it. So if you get a scenario like that where you go back on Sunday and you look, okay, we had this very similar situation, we reversed it, so therefore right. This guy shouldn't be penalized
which
to,
is what they're
game
doing.
Time.
Which is what they're doing now. You do have the ability to go back and take a look, which is really good.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, Rob asked that question about the targeting call and so forth. He's right about that. And like I said, the crackback, it was in last year, but I know it's a big point of emphasis. I talked to Jerry McGinn about this, because Jerry was at practice one day, and he's the one I usually get a pretty good read on what are they looking for. I always take a time to talk to a basketball official and a college football official each. What are you guys being told that you have to look for? Well, in other words, that point of emphasis. And that, you know, that's why I answered Rob's question the way I did. That point of emphasis, that crackback block. And on the Durham play, it was in wide open space. I mean, it's very difficult to miss that play, which they didn't. And that's why you saw no complaining on the Purdue sideline. It is what it is. All right, we will take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. Great to have Dave on the show today on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
The playoff model has obviously changed college football. I do think if you look at, you know, most of the sports in college football or sports in general, more opportunities for more teams to get in without going too far, I think is important. There's obviously always about teams, you know, maybe that aren't Power Five, you know, schools that had great years but are left out. Or a situation like us where we won the Big Ten championship, you know, arguably top two conferences, if not the best conference in all of college football, and be left out. I think it helps resolve and solve some of those issues. We obviously, in our sport, we also have to look at the length of the season, from a academic calendar perspective, but also just from a physicality perspective.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be important. It will come into play as a 12-team playoff where four teams are going to get one, will have the same number of games. The winners will get one extra game. I'm talking about the first round. And you can get like two extra games. And that's fine. The Athletic put together an article looking back at 1998 to now. And using 1998 to now, 66 different schools would have made the playoff. based on what they talked about. Penn State, by the way, would have made it 7 times. Penn State would have made the playoff in 99, 2005, 2008, 2016, 17, 18, and 19. So Penn State would have made the playoff 7 times under this model. Ohio State would have led the way at 18, Alabama 13. Believe it or not, Clemson would have been in 7, the same as Penn State, and Michigan would have been in 7, same as Penn State. Interesting. But as you know, I've been all for this. I've talked about it for 2 years. 12 teams, and I love the idea of home games in the opening round. And believe it or not, after a summer where they've talked about the Rose Bowl, what about the Rose Bowl? This 12-team playoff helps the Rose Bowl.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. Matt is all excited for the start of Eagles season. The Yankees have destroyed him.
Yeah, I'm just kind of waiting for the inevitable at this point. Like, really at that point now. I'm still not ruling them out pulling what the 07 Mets did. It's nice that they finally won these last two games, but yeah. Yeah, you're right. They've kind of broke me a little bit.
The 07 Mets.
Yes.
What does that mean?
When they blew the 7-game lead with, what, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, and the Phillies came back and won the division? That's possible.
You mean the year the Colorado Rockies went to the World Series? Yeah, okay. Who won the World Series that year? Oh, sorry.
Sorry about that.
That was actually a really good team. The 2007 Red Sox, they were really good.
They were, sadly.
But, you know, you got a big-time player like Stanton. Oh, he's hurt again.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I mean, you got a big-time $36 million raise. No, he lost to the Angels.
F-O-U-L-E-D. That spells founder.
The segment isn't going well for you. Let's talk about the Eagles.
Yeah, I'd much rather that at this point.
They haven't lost any games yet. How about Joe Buck and Troy Aikman? First game, Seattle and Denver. Oh, Geno Smith. Brutal. Brutal. Well, they get paid the same regardless.
Oh, good. Anthony Rizzo back to the IL, too. For headaches.
Maybe we should put you on the IL. It seems like you have headaches.
Yeah, really.
So this wasn't a good weekend for you.
As far as baseball goes, no.
Anything?
Well, yeah, but at least Notre Dame played better than I thought they would. And same with Bucknell, too. I mean, I'd expect it to be a 14-13 slugfest.
Notre Dame played it so close to the vest. I'm sure they felt that was their best way to win, and I understand that. It's just you knew the second they fell behind, they weren't going to win. It is only so far that the formula can take you. It's really all or nothing.
And in other words, we have to keep playing this way, keep it close. The problem you have in a game like that is your defense is out there so much and it's a hot night, you might wear down. And to, you know, is, but I don't draw much out of it from both sides other than that. For Ohio State, for them, it's great they won the game. Okay? But I don't know how good they are after watching the game. And for Notre Dame, I don't know how good they are after watching the game. I give their defense a lot of credit, but I mean, the question is going to be, do they have enough offense to win games? Do they have enough of a passing game to win some games? And then I watched LSU, Florida State, and I have no idea how good either of those teams are. I mean, look at the last 4 minutes. Muffed punt. Okay, going to get the ball back. We're going to drive down and tie the game. Muffed the punt. Lose the ball. Florida State, we got the ball now. We're putting it away. Fumble at the one. LSU, now we're going to tie it. Drive down the field. Meanwhile, let's give credit to the officiating crew. That official review took about a half an hour. And LSU, touchdown. And then the extra points block. Welcome to the opening week of the season.
Yeah, I would say the officials did not have a great opening week of college football.
Yeah, I don't know. I just... you know, it just took too long on something that was obvious. Okay? That review should have taken 30 seconds. His knee's down. The question is whether it's 1 or 2 seconds ago on the clock. And that's it. That's pretty much it. Yeah, it goes round and round and round and round. Like, what are you doing? I mean, get the game going. The Steelers, by the way, are going to retire their third number ever. They've already retired 75 for Joe Green, 70 for Ernie Stotner. Now, number 32 for Franco Harris. It'll be 50 years and a day since the Immaculate Reception, and they will be playing the Raiders on that Christmas Eve. His 32 will be retired. Now, if you're wondering, why haven't they retired Jack Ham's number? I'd like to point out that Jack Ham's number has not been in use since he retired. Nobody has worn it. They just haven't officially retired it. And I think I did touch on the story briefly about Franco interviewing Jack about the Immaculate Reception. I think I touched on that, didn't I?
I think you did at some point.
So we're at Chartier's, and we have a tea time. And Franco wants to interview Jack. And Dana Harris, is going to video it. Because Franco's putting something together for the 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception. So, I mean, I'm just standing off to the side and I'm listening to this because we're going to go down and we're going to play golf. And Jack then brings up, he says, this is a fact you probably don't know, and it's a fact I knew. And that it happened on Jack's birthday, which we've mentioned on the show before. So that surprised Franco. And as they're going through this, this interview took about a half an hour. As they're going through this, I know I've mentioned on the baseball broadcast, because when I'm giving as part of the flavor of every game, I always give the dimensions of the park I'm in at the time. And I think most people know Medler Field, Lebrano Park, the dimensions there are the exact same as PNC Park in Pittsburgh where the Pirates play. And with one exception, the wall in right field in Pittsburgh is 21 feet high in right field to honor Roberto Clemente. And the wall at Medler Field, LeBron Park, is 18.55 feet high to honor Penn State being founded in 1855. So, when I mentioned that a couple of times this season, I then also mentioned that, geez, think about it, it's been now 50 years almost since Roberto Clemente passed away. And as Jack was answering Frankel's questions about the 50-year anniversary of the Immaculate Reception, it struck me at that point, because I hadn't really put two and two together, but think about the incredible high of a city one day, and 8 days later, the devastating low. That Immaculate Reception occurred 8 days before Roberto Clemente died in that plane crash. How about that? I never really had thought about it in that context. Amazing. But they will retire Franco's number 32. I believe they retired the Suits bowling shoes at Central Columbia, correct?
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Or at least the spray can they use to disinfect and deodorize, right?
That's one of the most affectionate smooches of all time.
No, you do not want to get near that. No, you do not want to smooch that. And I don't care. No. Not his bowling shoes. No. No, 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 no. No, no. That probably was a verbal on a visual that right now is being rejected by this audience. So the opening game is Thursday night, Rams-Bills. That's on NBC, by the way. So Rams-Bills, that's an NBC game. Amazon Prime will start a week from Thursday. And Penn State football goes back to practice in about 10 minutes. So all those questions that James said they're still working it out, which you didn't like, by the way. You were pretty angry about that.
More question, not really angry per se.
You're always angry. I'll probably have those answers in 15 minutes. How about that?
Wouldn't surprise me.
Sure they got answers now. So. But you know what? And this is why, that's why I asked Dave Cicchini the last question I did. The last question about video. I'll bet Dave, like James, and like Jeff Brom, got video out of their games that showed them so many things that they liked and can build on, and showed each of them so many corrections. Now you got to go about and take care of it. So, I watched last night a little bit. I'll say this. Yesterday was the first day off I've had since the last week of July. You know what I found out? I did absolutely nothing yesterday. You know what I found out? I'm really good at it. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. We'll talk a little bit about Ohio University and what I saw in the video here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
played well. We, you know, had, I think, one penalty on the offensive line and one sack, so we got to clean that up. We had a chance for a few more explosive runs. We had to make that one free hitter miss, and we weren't able to do that. But we just got to continue to progress. But, you know, one sack in the game on the road, first game in the Big Ten, I think we took a step, but there's still work that needs to be done.
It's interesting about that in the running game. I'm glad he brought that up because, obviously, for Jack and myself, we've got the wide view the entire time for obvious reasons. And you could see, like too often they didn't get that one guy in the box to miss. Now, obviously, there's some plays that didn't go anywhere. I mean, that happens all the time. But there are a couple plays you just feel like, that's why I'm anxious to see, especially the two kids. You know, they can make that guy miss, which they're capable of. That's not a question in my mind. They're going to get more production out of the running game. They were getting some production out of the running game in the first half. And then in the second half, they didn't. So, you know, but again, part of that is getting that one guy in the box. And that one guy in the box, by the way, had deep penetration a lot of times, too. So that's got to be, I mean, that guy's got to be somehow at least scraped a bit. But I'll say the two young backs absolutely have the talent. Absolutely do. Now it's a question of seeing it happen in the game. That's what we need to see. Which it will. But you were disgusted by the answer of the quarterback.
I would say not enamored.
Can't you just wait till Saturday?
I guess I have to.
I mean, it's only 4 more days.
And speaking of the two young running backs, I want to definitely see more carries out of Nick Singleton.
Well, he and Allen both. Allen's, I mean, I'll tell you, I like Allen a lot, too. I think you got a really good 1-2 punch there with those two guys.
I just thought Purdue couldn't stop Singleton, especially when they had it going in the first half. It was all because of Singleton's burst. I mean, that was, it
the burst,
jumps
the burst
right
makes
at
it,
you.
Burst makes a difference, but get that first guy to miss. Okay, that's the big part. Get that first guy to miss. All right, and that's what James is talking about. If they can get that first guy to miss, both those guys, they can get to the second level. Now you've got some. You get to the second level, now you're cooking. And go from there. Ohio, I watched. No, I'd say I watched probably in the end a good chunk of the first half, and I watched a couple key sequences in the second half of their game with Florida Atlantic. Rourke, the quarterback's very good. He's very good. Throws the ball well. Is not a scrambler, but he can move. He can run. They run a lot of pistol. Sure, some sidecar, but a lot of pistol with Bengura. The receivers are decent. Sam Wiglis is a transfer from Ohio State, but don't get the wrong impression here. Wiglis was a walk-on at Ohio State, who then transferred to Ohio University. Okay, so he was not a scholarship player for the Buckeyes. But he made 4 catches in the game, 2 for touchdowns, and the other one got them to the half-yard line. And they beat Florida Atlantic in the opening game. Scored some points. And interesting for Florida Atlantic was their second game. But so that's one game for them. You know, didn't really make, you know, they didn't take a lot of shots in the game. You know, they kept a lot of things underneath. Ran a really nice goal line play for a touchdown where they put a guy in the wing, brought him across the formation, then slipped him out for a touchdown. It was a nice play. I think it was Cross that made that play, I think. Miles Cross. And then defensively, Caesar, number 50, Kai Caesar, big man, three-year starter in the middle, good player. Linebackers are kind of nondescript. And a former linebacker, Ben Johnson, they're now playing at free safety, and they creep him up into the box like a fourth linebacker. He had 15 tackles in the game. That's probably too many tackles for him to have at that spot. But he had 15. So there you go. At least Judge hit a home run. Are you all right? I mean, Junior was able to yell all rise, right?
All rise!
Yes, sir. We did have that, at least.
What's he going to say when they lose?
Not much, because I'm going to tell them they lost, and that's it. And we'll be moving our focus to the Eagles, too, as well.
Yeah, but when they start losing to Dallas, what are you going to do?
We'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
That would be so painful for you. I'll tell you right now, I have no idea how good the Cowboys are. Do you?
I think they're in for a rude awakening. I don't think they're going to be that good this year. I really don't.
I have no idea how good they are.
NFC East for me, Eagles, Giants, Cowboys, Commanders. That's my prediction.
Wow, it's a lot in the Giants.
I think they're going to be a better team than what people think. I think they're a playoff team.
Here's my prediction on the Giants. Without injury, at some point, Tyrod Taylor becomes the starting quarterback.
Ooh. Now, if that's the case, then they're probably not going to be a playoff team.
I'm just saying. It's just a gut feeling. I have no clue.
That's interesting, though.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.